Ars Technica reports this week that the U.S. Copyright Group, a law firm based in Virginia, appears to be the main contributor to a dramatic increase in alleged copyright violations in peer-to-peer file-sharing lawsuits against individuals in 2010.
What the heck is...
Copy!
Right.
What?
What the heck is...
Copy! Copy!
Go right! To the right! Right, 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 right!
It's that law that's the problem.
You know the law.
That stupid law.
Copy.
Fright? I'll tell you.
Copy.
Fright
is
a
permanently
fixed
the original
work.
What?
A
permanently
fixed
the original
work
in
some form
that can be
seen
or
heard.
The firm works with independent filmmakers and production companies to sue individuals on their behalf at no charge. The individuals are then subpoenaed, their identities revealed by their internet service providers, and then notified by the firm that for a mere $1,500 to $2,500, they can make a lawsuit go away. The settlement is then split between the firm and the filmmaker. 14,583 people have been sued to date, with most of those suits being filed in the last 3 months. Even after years of suing individuals over file sharing, the Recording Industry Association of America went after a total of only 1,800 people. And if the RIAA's campaign serves as any indicator of what is to come, most of the individuals sued by the U.S. Copyright Group will likely pay up and settle instead of going to court.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.
We will never stop piracy. Never.
Gotta go after the folks.
Gotta go after. Gotta go after.
Gotta go after.
Gotta go after.
Gotta go after the folks.
New movement just get among younger people in Europe and in the United States about collectivist free. Free is right. Sharing of information should be unrestricted, you know, and that comes into conflict with copyright. So be it.
So be it. So be it. You
gotta go after the folks.
So be it. You
gotta go after.
Gotta go after.
So be it.
Gotta go after.
We can't kill these technologies. We can only criminalize them. We're not going to stop our kids from creating using these technologies. We can only drive their creativity underground. We can't make our kids passive in the way at least I was growing up, just couch potato-like, consuming whatever I could consume. We can only make our kids, quote, pirates. And the question we should be asking is that any good? Our kids live in this age of prohibition, constantly live life against the law, and that itself is corrosive and corrupting of the rule of law, especially in a democracy. Yet, Hollywood doesn't like the changes that might adapt copyright law to a digital technology, so they're not even proposed in Congress today. The incumbents use their power to pervert the policymaking process.
By listening to this, you should be advised you're violating your listener's license agreements. You could be subject to suspension of your listener's license. You should disconnect now if you've come across this by accident. That's vitally important that you listen to this. If you're the one who turned this off, you're the one who needs it more than anyone. So light your candles. And may server protect us all.
There was a time when melody was free and could be employed by unauthorized persons like you and me. But now each tune has a price tag, a cost so much it's no dice tag. So if you lift your voice, be careful, my friend, 'cause sound exchange will descend. Yeah, about that low, too, believe me. You can't legally sing this song. Unless you send a check along to pay off the composer, his heirs and his assigns. If payment you forego, sir, you face some pretty hefty fines. You can't legally sing this tune in your shower, you're not immune, though you belt it out with feeling. That's my freaking song you're stealing, and I've got six lawyers to say you're wrong. 'Cause you can't legally sing this song.
Our media is no longer constrained by CDs, DVDs, or velvet ropes. It's fluid and digital.
Your heart fevered indeed, being a pirate is a wretched thing.
Hollywood has learned absolutely nothing from the music industry's collapse, except how to intimidate people. What they should know by now is that the media landscape has changed right under their feet, and no flawed court victory will ever turn back the clock.
Do what you want, 'cause a pirate is free. You are a pirate.
The Pirate Bay links to copyrighted content. It indexes and tracks BitTorrent files from its users who seed the files. In other words, it's a file-sharing tool. It doesn't actually store any copyrighted material. In a very real way, this is like saying the Postal Service is complicit and accountable for mail fraud. It's a double standard imposed by corporations and lawyers who still believe they can dictate our lives. The truth is that the market has failed the consumer. And on top of that failure, they blame us for their obtuse thinking and bully tactics. The solution is simple. Make every single movie, TV show, song available for us to access anytime we want, anywhere we want. Computers, TVs, mobile devices, anywhere. Offer us a great user experience and a genuine community, and we will gladly pay a reasonable fee to enjoy the quality content. We'll gladly pay a reasonable fee to enjoy the quality content. We'll gladly pay a reasonable fee to enjoy the quality content. Target us with relevant advertising, and you can even keep your fancy jets and penthouses. Just stop insulting us. Stop telling us that we're wrong. Start listening to what consumers are telling you with our actions and make the effort to change. Otherwise, prepare to be cast into the dustbin of history while you blame millions of people for not bending to your will.
This is a Panacheva reminder to make sure you only practice what certified instructors have taught you. Bad skills are like viruses and can spread through unregulated teaching. They cause confusion by destroying the standard and can lead to misplaced confidence in ungrounded practice. Remember, unlicensed knowledge is pornography. Certification is security.
There used to be a time when people could sing openly without being worried about licensing. You know, there used to be a time when you'd be able to read a book or tell a story. Of course, the books are gone. You can still lose your license by telling stories. It's a dangerous business being creative.
You can't legally sing this song at a campfire or sing along. You could croon Schubert later when the weenie roast's begun, but if you're no great sight reader, dead composers aren't much fun. You can't legally hum this strain till you pay for each sweet refrain. If you dare lift my creation without proper compensation, you'll rot in prison where you belong. 'Cause you can't legally sing this song. song.
Now listen, this is important. Only
the copy.
Right.
Owner.
Pass the
right
to
you.
There.
Work.
It's mine.
How can that be?
That's not fair.
It's forbidden to
use
a copy
right
work
without
permission granted
by the copy
right
owner.
And
anybody who's foolish enough to threaten our
copy
right
has broken
the law.
Aren't we forgetting one teensy-weensy but ever so crucial little tiny detail?
You'd better be able to pay for that.
Copy.
Right?
Permission.
We haven't discussed the subject of payment. You can't get something for nothing, you know.
But I don't have
it. I'm not asking much. Just a token, really, a trifle.
Hold on. Back up. Are you saying
this is about
money?
I'm sorry, sir. I don't have any money.
It's extortionary.
I prefer the term capitalist. Hear that sound? It's the sound of your freedom fluttering out the window.
And we know we will never stop. I know. Never, never stop. I know. Never stop. Never stop.
Perhaps the most interesting issue about intellectual property and about copyright, and that is who really owns what, and what is the purpose of copyright, and what is the purpose of copyright, and what is the purpose of
control. Built to keep us under control in order to change a human being.
Did you feel like a criminal?
A hobo!
A left for dead?
Scum of the earth!
A low down
freak of nature!
Creep hits the fever, testing the cleaver. It's chasing witches, such slick deceivers. Fear and paranoia at their disposal. Why would they expose if they chose it? Why would they expose if they chose it? Why would they expose if they chose it? Harry kicked the chair, ass speaker of the day. FBI's wide, bigger than Fed to bend the hate like.
You know these men, they're the Brothers Grimm. You know them because they wrote fairy tales, which most of you probably think, as I did until I actually went to read them, are these wonderful stories you should read to your children. They are not. These are extraordinarily bloody, moralistic accounts that no child should ever read. They're awful, awful stories. But you think they're great because another company took these stories and retold them in a way that crafts your memory of growing up, the Disney Corporation. The Disney Corporation took these stories and retold them in this wonderful creative way because the stories lived in an intellectual commons. They lived in a place where they were free to be taken. They lived in a place where you didn't need the permission of a lawyer. A lawyer-free zone, that's what the commons is, and a lawyer-free zone is an extraordinary encouragement to innovation and creativity. Now, this work that Disney took was free to take because the Constitution of the United States says copyrights are for, quote, limited times. And though the meaning of limited times was relatively clear to the framers, they thought it meant a short interval, and they set up a term that was 14 years, if the author lived maybe 28 years. Over time, this term has grown. In 1831, it grew to 42 years, 1956 to 1909 to 56 years. Then starting in 1962, look, no hands. The copyright term has extended and extended by act of Congress. It has been extended 11 times in the last 40 years. The last of these extensions was in 1998. This was the Sonny Bono Copyright Term Extension Act, otherwise known by affectionate sorts as the Mickey Mouse Protection Act. The Mickey Mouse Protection Act, which essentially assures that work does not pass into the public domain anymore. Every time work is about to pass into the public domain, the term is extended, meaning that no one can do to Disney what Disney did to the Brothers Grimm. The mouse is not allowed.
Copy, right?
Maybe broken, but it's
slippery.
You can
borrow
a
small
amount
of a
copy, right?
Work too.
Gonna let you teach that guy a lesson.
To be believed, there has been a child security breach.
Direct from the land, right here for your very much wish fulfillment.
It is my professional opinion that now is the time.
But how will I know?
If
it's
a fair use.
There are
certain rules
that demonstrate
fair
use.
Okay, first of all, it's
the nature
of
the work.
Borrowed.
Second of all,
it's
the
amount
you
borrowed.
Oh, and there is one more thing.
It has to be something that
doesn't change
the
original
work's
value
in the marketplace.
Few years later, when the real crackdown came, the listener's license. What a fantastic concept. Can't believe it. See, it happened like this. There's all this piracy. See, everybody was... Piracy is now what they consider a theft.
All right, cut him off.
Leave him on.
See, in order to combat piracy, which was getting really rampant, all this information was flowing around. Nobody really liked that. So they wanted it gone. They wanted to get rid of piracy. But they couldn't stop it. The internet was growing every day. No one could stem the flow, so they created the listener's license. It started real easy. See, music, legitimate music to purchase was, say, $20. And then what they did was, if you signed up to get this card, like a loyalty program card of the day, you'd get 75% off. So a $20 CD became a $5 CD. And you could buy it legitimately. For $20, you could walk out of there with 4 CDs. Amazing. Of course, people were signing up for it in droves. I mean, why wouldn't you? You could go buy a pirate CD for $6, or you could buy the real thing for $5. Consumers are such mercenaries. So they signed up en masse. 2 years went by. 2 years. And then it became mandatory. See, if you didn't have your listener's license, if you couldn't present your card, well, you weren't able to buy music. Part of the licensing agreement came when you got the card. And all of a sudden people were out in the cold, but it wasn't just the music, The listener's not license was created by the conglomerates. They all got together. If you wanted to see a movie, hey, if you had your listener's license, you could get in for $2. $2. Oh, you don't have a listener's license? Well, you can't get in. See, they couldn't control the piracy. So they stopped it at its source. If ever you were found to be a pirate, or your computer was ever found to have MP3s that weren't appropriate on it, you were eliminated. Your listener's license was revoked, and you were out of the loop. That's all private enterprise. You don't have a right to music. You never had a right to music. It's all private. No more movies, no more shows. Can't even buy art. Because you could scan it. What if you scan that picture, So, regulation, of course, is always the first step to total domination. But we didn't see that either.
I would swallow my pride, I would choke on the rinds, but the lack thereof would leave me empty inside. Swallow my doubt, turn it inside out, find nothing but faith in nothing. Wanna put my tender heart in a blender, watch it spin round to a beautiful oblivion. Rendezvous, then I'm through with you.
As if we oppose Disney's extreme view of copyright, it must be because we're communists. We don't believe in copyright at all. If we say that platforms should be neutral, it must be because we don't believe in property. We think all things should be common for everybody. But the insight, the obvious point, which is our history, is that never does innovation and creativity come from either extreme. It always comes from this balance between property and access, between public and private, between these things functioning together, between the controlled and the commons, that together produce the kind of innovation that we have seen and that you produced. The controlled versus the commons is not a competition. These things work together. And this debate has been misframed because our culture now believes anyone who questions property and control must do so because they don't believe in property or any form of control.
I know that when my books are assigned in a college, kids take my words and do all sorts of junk with them. But I don't want to file a federal lawsuit about it. I don't want to go into a court and tell them, stop that person from using my work. We all understand in the context of text that you put the text out there, copyright protects you from somebody competing with you and selling the original book, but it ought to be free for people to use and reuse as they want. Those same norms have got to begin to be part of film and music and graphics as well.
And what is the purpose of copyright? What is the purpose of copyright? And what is the purpose of copyright? And what is the purpose of copyright? What is the purpose of copyright?
It reminds of a book written 2 years before Baran wrote his proposal. A book written by Rachel Carlson called The Silent Spring. Carlson had a simple message. Carlson's message was that there's an ecology which can be fundamentally undermined by small changes in the environment. It can be undermined such that it has radical unintended consequences that produce this image of the silent spring. It took a certain understanding of science to begin to teach the world how hunters had the same interests as tree huggers in some deep sense. That there was an environment here that depended upon a balance between these two sets of interests. And once people began to see that connection, they could build a movement that limited the extremism of one type of vision, what Jamie Boyle calls the environmental movement that we need here. You, in your silence about the connection between these architectures you've built and the values they embrace, destroy the possibility for this movement. You, in your activism to tell the policymakers this is not just about theft, make possible this movement. You can teach them about how architectures are environments, about how they allow, and about what this particular architecture did. Now, I've spent too much time in D.C. listening to them about this stuff. If you've said something to them, they don't yet get it. And if you don't now find a way to frame this debate as Carlson did, Carlson's Silent Spring, then there will be in this industry too the same silence that will allow the same interests, the dinosaurs, to stop the innovation which your architecture enabled. I plead, as a lawyer with a guilty conscience, perhaps, as a lawyer, to teach the lawyers how the freedom that they think they produce through constitutions and contracts and laws in the Supreme Court is as much a product of what you build. Only you have the credibility to do that, and until you do, those who I produce for a living will silence the revolution you produce.
At that time, the listener's license had huge power, not the power it has today. I mean, now, you don't have a valid listener's license. I mean, in our time, you can't do anything. I mean, you're a pirate. You can't present as part of your paperwork. I mean, it's your, or your identification. See, the listener's license, after they came out with that, that was a huge step one, but everyone was so focused on the listener's license they didn't see where the real power play was made. See, everyone was so whipped up in the media again, you know, corporately controlled media. Got everyone focusing on the benefits or the drawbacks, a big debate over the listener's license. But they, what they didn't see was the regulations that went into play on recording equipment. See, that was the real... I was the one that really came back. They started putting in these standards on microphones, any kind of recording media. You wanted to record? Well, got to adhere to this standard. Because it's the future. We got to make sure the quality's there. Chips were put into place. All recording media became regulated. No listener's license? Well, at the very least, you can't buy recorded media. You can't make your own music if you don't have the listener's license. And this grew to where it's at today, where there's no more cameras. And microphones are gone. All the kit I'm using here, this would get me recycled for sure. So just by listening, unfortunately, you're breaking the law. But if you're still listening, then you probably have it in your head that listening to people talk probably isn't bad, despite what the prompters say. Speech should be free. People should be able to talk.
Because only you can change this debate, right? Lawyers will not change this debate. People who are paid by content industries will not change this debate. People who think that freedom gets built through constitutions only will not change this debate. It's people who understand that free code, in the sense of access, free end-to-end code, built a free culture. Free in the sense that only you understand, not free in the sense of beer, right? You've heard this a million times. But free in the sense of the creativity it produced. You get this. They don't. You understand the connection between the architecture and the freedom to innovate that Armstrong and Baran wanted. The freedom to tinker that IboPet.com evinced. The freedom to Disneyfy, as my hero Walt Disney demonstrated. You understand the connection between architecture and what it allows. And for the first time in our history, we have to get people to understand how your architecture built their freedom in this extraordinarily important context.